Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of thy great salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the treasure of your word as a light, as a lamp, as a manual. When there is things that we need to find out, Lord, regarding this life of ours that we have from you, how to grow, how to keep it, and all the very important instructions, Lord, that they are written there in this treasure book of yours that thou hast given us, Lord. We want to thank you, Father, and we know that thy Spirit, O Lord, will guide us and keep us, O Father. As we are the branches, they are up from the true vine, and as long, Father, we bear fruits, and which we ought to, Father, in the first place. For the sap of life is in the vine. And therefore, Lord, let us always be doing what you want us to do. For that will be the testimony that we are your children and that our life will glorify thy holy name. So, Father, bless now, Lord, as you approach thy word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. All right, but let's go to the book of John chapter 15 and read verse 5 and 6. You know, I was just thinking that there are certain things that I want to bring it out, so I just might as well finish off and just touch on some of the few things that I need to touch on to finish off the subject of abiding in the vine. Alright? John 50 verse 5 to 6. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now I want you to look at the picture here. There are three pictures I want to show you so that you may understand. Look at this picture here. Now, this is a vine, a grapevine. As you know, it's not a young one that grows up from the ground, but it has been there, you know, over a period of time. in the vineyard, and you can see at the back there is the vineyard. So when you look at this, you can see that all these branches that grows up, these are new because they already harvest the grapes and they're cutting it down, they're pruning down. But you can see the old branches that are near the what we call the vine or the stem. Oh, don't call it a trunk because it's not trunk really, the stem. You can see that the branches are a little bit curved, right? Because they're natural for this being the vine and the branches of this vine, they will still try to curve. Well, look at the second picture. This one, of course, is you can see the new branches sprout out there and young leaves and all that. And you notice that the stem, oh, I got the vine, comes out from the ground. Of course, they all have come out from the ground. You cannot see the root. You only see the stem or the vine. And it is where the sap is. And if you notice that this new branches that comes out, they are very thin, right? I mean, all new branches come out. But if you leave it as it and let it grow, over time when it gets matured, they tend to turn, they tend to curve. That's not what the Bible understanding of the vine is. Not just the grapevine or the passion fruit vine, the Honolulu creeper vine or something like that. No, it's not just a vine going around like a creepers. But it will grow up, but it will turn. So if there's no support, it will just bend. You understand what I'm trying to tell you, huh? Okay. So if you look at the third picture, which is, of course, the very old one, and I really love this tree. I really love this vine, actually. It's old, and you can see the fruits, the grapes growing on it, right? And you can see all the branches, they're growing. They are trying to curl around here and there. You notice that? Huh? It's not like a tree branches just hanging out there. The branches are old, and they're trying to curl around each other. The reason why I said this, I want to show you this, is because Jesus did not just say that he is just a tree. For example, like a fig tree, he will use a fig tree or something like that, and then the branches. But he used the word vine. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. And as I said this before, when we look at the Bible in the English language, the vine is just to us, you know, like grapevine, they say passion fruit vine, but it isn't. It is the Greek word, or the word itself tells us that it is something that has a small stem, so to say, and it starts to have branches that comes out. And these branches that comes out want to intertwine. And that's one of the Greek word is. It grows up from the ground, the stem, where the saps are, or the sap is, that fits the vine. And the vine will want to curl around itself. So that it's more or less that, you know, they want to hug each other. They want to intertwine and hug each other. You get it? So now if you go back to these two verses again, let me explain it to you. I'm the vine, you are the branches. So if Jesus is telling, now he's telling this to the disciple, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me. Now, here, when we read it, people need to understand that the Christian faith is not about, you know, believing in Jesus, John 3:16, that sort of thing. Because if it is, many of the verses in the Bible would have no significance. You agree with me? If John 3:16 is all that we need, believe in the Lord Jesus can doubt shall be saved, because for God so loved his only begotten Son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in him. The word believe is just a word in English to mean just to, okay, I believe him. But as I said this, the word Greek word shows a total reliance on him. That means that you will have exactly what John 15 here say. That he is the vine. And we are the branches, and we need to abide in the vine. Not say, oh, I believe, that's it. No. Sometimes when I look into the paper, you know, I look into the obituary page, why do I do that? It's because I might find a friend of mine or somebody of mine, you know, in the past, it might pass away or things like that. You know, somebody I know. And I say that many of the obituaries, of course, you know, we have different kinds of religious people. We have the Muslim, the Indian, the Christian, or the Buddhist, all they put the obituary there. So when I look at it, and you can see some of them put, they will put a verse there in the Bible, from the Bible, and put it in the obituary. You see, he that abide in him, and so on, or who he that die in Christ, you know, I'm the resurrection and life. They quote some of these Bible verses. So I was just wondering, and how many of these people who passed away are really believers? Or because they are just saying, I'm Christian. Not just nominal Christian who go to church, but just say, oh, I am a Christian, but I'll go to church maybe 3-4 times in the whole year. So, when you look into these two verses carefully here, he that abide in me and I in him, and not just by me. You know, to abide in him, he must be in us, because Jesus can say, I in you, you in me. The Holy Spirit comes, right? No, he only not dwell with you, but he shall be in you. The same bringeth forth much fruit, and that is very true. If we don't have this abiding presence of the Lord in our life, we cannot bring forth fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, I'm glad even for the testimony that Brother Francis said. You know, he's along with us. I think he's probably the youngest with his family that came to our fellowship, right? Over the years, yes. He's very new. You know. And yet, I'm so happy for you, Brother Francis, that you're learning things. One of the important things is to learn. And what he gave the testimony just now. You know, just how that the Lord give him, you know, the wisdom to be silent. And truly from the verse, you know, even the fool in silence are wise. And this is how, by believing and walking with the Lord, reading the scripture, studying it, and praying and saying, Lord, help me. I'm this situation. You know, give me the wisdom. And the Lord will surely. And he will surely reward you. You see, because that is what we call the abiding in him and he in us. And it will bring forth much fruit. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me. Now he is not talking about just a sinner. He didn't. Because Jesus Christ is talking to who? He's talking to the disciple. He didn't talk to the disciple. If any man out there don't abide in me. I mean, sinner out there, why would they abide in Christ? Because they don't even know Christ in the first place. But Jesus Christ is talking to you. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If any man abide not in me. I want you to really understand this, because sometimes we read the scripture, we bypass it many times. And not understanding it. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He is cut down. And he is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. So let me really look at this and understand the importance of it. Alright? Alright. Now, why believers do not abide in the vine? Why are they, they come to church, you see them on Sunday, you know, whether it be your colleague or the fellowship, you know, colleague that you work with in your office, that you know them as Christian, or you know believers in the fellowship here, or in another church that you know, or some Christian that you yourself know, and you converse with them, and you find out that, why are they restless? Why are they in a state of agitation? It is because they are not abiding in Christ. They are complaining of this and complain of that, so many things. And many Christians, as I say, many of this, I hope that brother and sister who are in this fellowship or who believe in the word of the Lord in this end time, Do not just be a bystander. You know, because, well, you know, there are many. They are not actually part of this vine of the Lord, it seems. Because we need to really, like a vine, as I said, they tend to intertwine. It means that we should be interlocking, we should have sort of, rapport with one another, so to speak. As we grow in the vine, we wanted to connect. We want to be really part, because if we are part of the vine, we feel the same vibration or frequency or radiation, you know, of the love of Christ, of the same member of the body. So let us not just be a hero only of the Word of God, but let us be a doer of the Word of God. Alright? So now, let me just give you some of the things that are troubling a lot of people. And you, as I said, when I look into the world today, with all that, the thing that is going on, I just want to bring out some of the event that comes into the world, and so that every one of us know the time we are living in. Because when I still meditate about the coming of the Lord, I says, Lord, why don't you come as soon as possible? You know, I get up in the morning, I open the window every morning, and I raise my hand to the Lord and praise Him, and then I say, Lord, come. And I ask the Father, I says, how long is that? How long are we going to be on this crazy madness of this world? The thing that's going on in the world is, it's just not healthy. And we don't want to go through all this problem. And I look at the time and say, Lord, how long? How many more years? You know. And I just feel that in the next 3 years or less or something, that's going to be a war going on. Because we cannot have any more time beyond 2030. That's too far off already. You see. Anyway, but we see in the report, I don't know how many of you, as the Bible said, watch and pray. And now we're looking at this world of economy. And we see a lot of things that is in the news. They are very powerful men. They are trying to end the systems of free markets. You all remember Jack Ma? How many of you know Jack Ma? Asia, the richest man in Asia, so to speak. Very powerful, a lot of money, a lot of big business. Alibaba become Ant Group. Alibaba is long, I said put Ant Group then, you know. And a lot of things that he had done, and he was so outspoken when he tried to IPO thing, to put it on a stock market and things like that. But you know what happened? The secretary, they call it secretary general of the the Communist Party of China, Xi Jinping, immediately cram him down. And that few months back, that thing that happened, people thought that because he disappeared, Jack Ma disappeared, people thought that something happened to him. You know. So they are powerful men, not just there in a nation of China, but out there in the West, in America, in Europe. They are trying to end the existence of free market. They want to bring in socialism, so to speak. They want to have a control. Now we are looking at a one world order. In the last October 2020, the Pope Francis, he also called for the reset of the world economy. He set up a council to control this whole event of resetting the world economy. And this is what he said, the goal. He said the goal is to rebuild, or is to build a fairer, more inclusive and sustainable economic foundation for the world. Now that's Pope Francis, huh? He's supposed to be the leader of the Catholic Church, or leader of Christianity. But why is he in economy? He's supposed to be a religious person to guide the people, but he's in working economy. Oh, so he's mining a lot of things. So he's saying that he wanted to reset the world economy, and he got a setting up a council to do it. And the council is called the Guardians. You know? Now, think about it. And the goal is to build a fairer, more inclusive and sustainable economic foundation for the world. And the Catholic Church has a lot of praise for China. Has a lot of praise for the communist China. Why? We're looking at the one world order coming. And we all know about the one world order, but it is very, very close. Remember the four winds of Revelation? Political wing, economical wing, the military wing, and we have, of course, the religious wing. They're all working now. So just look at this four wing, okay? Political, and we know that there's a lot of problem between nations, the leaders, and within America there is always this Democratic and Republicans issue, right? Huh? And then we have in China, between China and Taiwan and Hong Kong issue. Yeah, and we have over in the European Union. And you know what happened to the European Union? For all these many years past, the Catholic Church is so happy about the European Union. But now the European Union, all these countries having problems. Right? They are fighting each other because of the COVID issue, the vaccine issue. So they fight over each other. So that's the political issue. The second one, the economic. And that's why we, as I said, there are powerful evil people that wanted to end their system in the free market. They want to control. So if you get a man who is very powerful and rich, what do you think he can do? He can do many things. And that's what happened to China 20 years ago. Zhang Zemin, when he was in power after when he was in power after Deng Xiaoping, passed off, Zemin took over. And they were wanting, being a communist party, communist country, they were even willing to have rich people join the party, even millionaires. They were sort of trying to have open the market out, and so that people can do their business and bring more money into China. But today, Xi Jinping, he doesn't like, this kind of business. That's why they want to have a socialism system back in place again. So anyway, this thing that's going on. Now, as I said, this, the Catholic Church praises communist China for that socialism thing. And that's why Pope Francis wanted to reset the economy. And one thing about, you read the news and you follow news, Pope Francis, he spoke out against the issue of George Floyd, who was killed by this policeman who put his knees and took him to death. Okay? He spoke out against it. He spoke out against the U.S. government separating the children from the parents of those illegal immigrants down at the border, south of the border, which is, of course, in Mexico. Now, he spoke out against that. But Pope Francis never spoke out against China regarding the Uyghurs issue. The Uyghurs, you know the Uyghurs issue, they are Muslim, the minority in China, how they were badly treated. I mean, so there is a lot of hypocrisy. He did not speak out against China. But he spoke out against America. Yes. The RSCC. You know what RSCC stands for? Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church, the RSCC is cozy with RSCC. What's the RSCC? Both are also RSCC. The Red Communist China. Both have also initial RCC. So very cozy with that. Alright, because there's not much of a difference. If you look at Catholic socialism and Chinese socialism, because this is what the One World Order is, control. Remember this. And if you look at Revelation chapter 13, you remember Revelation chapter 13? You don't have to turn to it. If you do remember how in Revelation 13 he talked about the work under control of the beast, right? Under the control of the woman. And how that this woman will issue an order that everyone who don't take the mark will not buy and sell. And she will go out for those who are the remnant of Israel. Right? And they will go out, she will go out against the foolish virgin to seek them out. But I said this in my book that I wrote 30 years ago now, I wrote that. I said that when the cultures come to power and control the people and to order them to subject to her, the Catholic Church or the Pope has no power in every nation. Now, I know that tradition will tell you, a lot of Christians believe that once the Pope comes into power, the anti-Christian power, he has so much authority that everyone in the world, the Bible said, you know, the world, you know, the sin, like that. But people need to understand the expression. Here we have China and here we have the Catholic Church. Two different nations. And you must understand that the Catholic Vatican is a nation by itself. A religious nation. Even though it's a small little area, but yet the population is big because they're all around the world. So you can see the one world order that Pope Francis desired, or the Catholic Church always saying, the system of Romanism, and you look at what communism held in China. Do you think that the Catholic Church can interfere with what's in China? And in many countries, it can touch. So when the prophecy you read in the book of Revelation, you must understand the area, the people, or any relationship with the Catholic Church or those in the Middle East that spread out to Europe, to America, to any country that are religious to the king of the Catholic Church. Alright, now, the next point I want to bring out here is, from what I read in articles and found out, that three out of ten websites on the internet are pornography. 3 out of 10. Top ten websites are accessed. They are accessed by people. I think maybe you thought top 10 website, probably we'll talk about Facebook, YouTube, or something like that. I don't know what else, Amazon, whatever. You know, they're top 10. So 3 out of the top 10 websites that were accessed by people, they were pornography. And 20% involve trafficked children. And I read this article, I said, wow. And there were even reports about mother reporting to the police that the child 9 years old were kidnapped, you know, preteen, kidnapped, and they were forced by people, wicked people, evil people, sadistic people, vulgar people, make videos of them having sexual act or just exposing themselves, and they were told to do certain things and they put it on the internet and they spread it out. 20% of these are not adults who volunteer to be do pawns, but these are children who are kidnapped. Now, the thing that's going on in the world, what we hear normal people see is what we see with the daily affair of life, right? The report of this, but very seldom people really read about such articles or the news. I mean, it doesn't happen here in Singapore really. Only that we have some people who will take what do you call underscored video. I don't know. You know. That's all we have over here. But the thing that's going on there, and I believe what Prabhupada said to be true. All the filth that come out from Hollywood to begin with, and I think it has churned out, and with the internet, it becomes more available, and with the modern technology, it's taking off. I remember those days when I traveled, I had to get a video that has a cassette tape in there, right? You all remember that? To film. But now, you don't have to take a camera. You don't need a video camera. All you have is your phone, a cell phone. And you can take very high quality, high definition pictures. And even the phone are getting smaller. And even what we have here on the, what you call a thick thing, you know? How they can even take a video also. Oh my. So what we are looking at is the condition of the world. And not only that, you heard about puberty blocker? You probably don't know about this. It doesn't happen here. It happened in America and in other countries. They give children. They block their puberty. They slow down their puberty. What are they doing this? Their child, it is child abuse. But it is happening. And when a child having young, they are transgender thoughts, a young boy wanted to be a woman and all that thing, wanted to be a girl, they give them this funny, instead of proper counseling, they give them all sort of crazy counseling. Well, now here we have, whatever is going on there has happened. There is the war going on out there in various places, and you have America trying to pull out their troops from Afghanistan. Right. It's a military issue on the march. But the thing right here is this, today we have this common thing that is all around the world, and that is the COVID-19. Okay, if you have been watching the news, if you have been looking at the news, but don't be foolish like some people out there told me. But again, it's your assumption. It's assumption of this man, assumption of that man. I'd rather have the expert. But you know something? The many experts that is now on over the COVID vaccine issue. You know what happened? What they are thinking of now? They are discussing each other and they are very, very uncertain about what the vaccine is doing to the body. Do you know what happened in the news? I think 2 days ago. I think in Singapore. Two or three. In fact, today there's one. Those already got the jab. Two doses. And after a few months, they get infected. Why? Well, Dr. Fauci explained it. You can see it on his YouTube. I mean, he's supposed to be the number one man, so to speak, you know. Supposed to be a chief in control and in charge of all this health issue. But you know, there are others who are more expert. But whatever they say, they are shut down. And that's why it's so true that people have knowledge. But if you have knowledge, but you don't have common sense, so who are the experts? And what did they say about this vaccine? Well, it's so, it's safe. Yeah, okay, to a certain percentage, but no, it's safe. 98%? But the problem is this. Many of them know, they do not know what's going to happen to the body after this vaccine is taken. And one expert gave a whole talk about this. The fear of this is that, he says, I fear. Now what is going to happen to the body is that it will suppress your inert, natural immunity system. Immune system. You know, we are born with a immunity system in the body, right? It is inert. It is there. But he feared that when these vaccines are taken, it might somehow make a mess of the natural immune system and allow other diseases later on to attack the body. And the natural immune system do not know how to defend because of what the CV vaccine is injected in. Now this is what is a concern. Many experts who were for the vaccine issue, you know, they were agreeing for the vaccine on this, but now they are saying, what happened now? And that's why I said this. I'm not trying to scare you people. And like many people, they will say, many Christians are full of baloney. Now I'm saying that's the truth. You know, oversaved Christian. Are you hearing me? Oversaved Christian. Holier than anybody else. Conspiracy theory. You know, there was a conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. I believe what's except for the government. I believe what is spoken by the CDC, NIH of America, the big, all this, they know. The experts, they know. Now, a lot of experts do not know. They have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have common sense, just like theologians. Let me say this, brother and sister. You, every one of us who believe in this word of God, who have come into the message of the shout. Huh? And now we're in the voice, waiting for the trump. If we have come so far that the Bible here, this treasure book of ours, is real. It has become very real. The truth. Then, we ought to know. It is not just because you're full of knowledge. You need to have common sense. We need to have spiritual sense to understand things. So, Virgil, are you telling me not to take the vaccine? And that's one of the things that many people will tell me when I tell them what's happening. Are you telling me not to take the vaccine? No, I'm not telling you not to take the vaccine. Even our government here will give you the choice. Right? Even many countries, they give you the government give them the choice. And the fact is because also that there's not enough vaccine to go around. Do you understand? Imagine how fast they produce the vaccine and how
every day. How do they produce those vaccines so fast every day, you know?
Think about it.
The only thing I say this, my brother and sister, from the beginning I said it last year, when the COVID hit us, I wrote you a text, right? Do not be fearful. What is happening is known of God. On my wall there is a plague. There is nothing that has overtaken me without His knowledge. Amen. And whatever He allows, I know He has His blessing on me.
Hallelujah.
So, to take or not to take is not the issue here. The issue here is this. Your faith. That's why I'm saying this. As what Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches.
Amen.
You know what? The vine is up there with the branches there. And there's a husbandman. But if the husbandman is not around, there might be somebody else to come in and try to do something to the branches, right? Perhaps, let's say, imagine this, you have a vineyard, and your neighbor have a vineyard, and you produce better grapes, right? His is not. And he got jealous, and he want to damage some of your vine. So let me say this. The enemy may try to damage us. You get what I'm trying to tell you? We are the branches, the enemy may try to. Like the neighbor come over in the night and try to cut and try to damage some of the branches of my vineyard because he's jealous that I produce better grapes. You know what I mean? Trying to cut you and damage, you know. So Satan may do that. Because this world is not ours. This world is not God's world. This world is Satan's world. And he will try to do damage as much as he can. And so, the issue is this. Do not fear. Whatever is done to the body, even the day will come, I do not know. In many countries already, you know, many Christians are suffering. As it was back in the days of the iron curtain and the bamboo curtain in the early years, the Christian went underground and those that were caught, they were tortured. Is that all right? Huh? And yet many of them willingly died for Christ, as it was in the days when the caliph was in control over the Roman Empire and became the Holy Roman Empire, and anyone who bowed on not to her. And for 1,000 years, but in the first 500 years or so, you know how many Christians died? Millions. Tortured, put on the rack, and pulled apart. Huh? Burn at the stake. These are sadistic men. Because what? Satan is abiding in them. And they are abiding in Satan. And how important it is for us to abide in Christ. This body, it just a wooden box. Look at this. Richard Gunn is not this flesh. Richard Gunn is that soul that is in this house. Do you get it? This old body will pass away, burn up, finished. Then you are released. Then I am released from this bondage of a wretched body, and we'll be free. So, faith in the Lord. Let us go to the book of Job. I want to say this and ask you something. How many of you have ever been on the, exploring in the jungle and the forest, go on a trek, just by a group of people, not as an army boy, just organize a group like five of us or six of us, and then go into the trek in the jungle places. It's fun. But let's say somebody want to come along. So are you up to it? Yeah, I want to come along. And then when we go into the jungle or into the forest, and when we are in there for half an hour, I want to go back. I want to go back. You have this flies, this neck, or whatever, you start freaking, I want to go back. When we have a purpose to go on and do something, to track from point A to point B, let us finish the journey. Not go halfway. So do you, brothers, have a purpose, really? Remember what Jesus said? You won't be worthy of God if you take the plow halfway, you look back. Don't look back. Like the song we sang, don't look back from where you came. Right? From where you came, from your previous religion, or your previous life of sin, don't look back. Keep moving. Right? And for the man to plow something, he will plow halfway, he looked back. Hey, the focus is in front. If you keep looking back, it won't be a straight line. You all know when you're plowing, right? You look forward. If you're looking back, you will never be straight. So let our walk not be crooked. Neither to the left, nor to the right, but focus on that glorious cross that was there, of whom the man who died for us. And then we can look at it and then look up where our redemption draweth nigh. Job chapter 3, verse 20 to 26. I know people just say, I want to come back, I want to come back. It's tough. If you get someone who want to tag along in what we call this trekking, adventure in a foreign jungle, and he's just worried about all these things, and hey, I'm tired, I'm so tired, I feel like dying and all this. Hey, look, that's why when I have that pain that comes in the night, I can't sleep. I can tell you, I feel like, oh Lord, are you taking me home? Take me home. Take me home, take me home. Why? Yes, when we are in misery and all this, we want to go home. But look at what Job, chapter 3, verse 20 to 26. Wherefore is life given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which love for death, but cometh not and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they have found the grave. And it's true, somewhere we all know, what is life given to misery? I mean, this is talking about natural life. But let us look at this spiritually. What is life given to us, people who are miserable? What? Because in the first place, sin is what affects us. And the sin, because of sin, in this still that the world we call the old man, that the struggle that is there. And because the struggle is there, we look at things miserably. It's how important it is therefore to focus on him. So when we don't focus on him, You know, Brother one time when he committed suicide, you all know that. I even loved Brother Pierre. Of course, that he was back then he was a Catholic. He was just thinking God wanted to shoot himself in the head when God spoke to him through a television evangelist. That's kind of unusual, but God has a way of doing wonderful things. Verse 23. Why is life given to a man whose way is hid? He doesn't know what is going on. And whom God have hedged in, kind of tied up. For my sight come before I eat, and I feel, oh my, I've been so miserable before even I sit down and have a meal. And my roaring are poured out like water. Means my cry, my weeping inside, my mourning with tears that pour out. Because, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But sometimes when I sit at the table and eat or anything, sometimes I just caught up in a meditation all of a sudden, and I just cry. Cry. Just cry. I'm miserable, Lord. I'm miserable. I just cry. And then the Lord was speaking in my head, what is so miserable about? About this pain, about this frustration, about this and that. You know. And the Lord continued to speak. And you find that after a while, the Lord gives you a lot of awareness of that His presence is there. He can hold you through. Your journey is not over yet. And I ask the Lord many times, is my ministry finished? Am I true? And you hear Him speaking, not over yet. You know, just a little longer. In a little while. Huh? In a little while. And for the thing, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly fear is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come up unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Yeah, Job. A man who has true evil, and God allow Satan to test him. How many of you ever make promises that you don't keep? That you did not keep? Yeah, come on, no? Well, some of you don't make promises and you make promises, you keep them, okay. I can guarantee you that, and many of us, many times, make promises and did not keep them. Right? So we need always to remember to keep our promise. When we say something and we mean it, we do it. Yes. But you see, God keep His promise. God keep His word. But we, mankind, break His word. Now, oh my God, the Bible don't talk about people there on the outside. The Bible is related to us, God's children. Okay, 1 Kings 8, 54 to 61. 1 Kings 8, 54 to 61. And it was so that when Solomon had made an ending of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Now I like that. On your knees and spread your hand out. He was kneeling before the altar. But if you ever have to pray standing, lift up your hand. Now, when you worship the Lord, when you worship the Lord in the fellowship, whether you are here, whether you are in another home or another place, when you stand up and sing a song of praise, do you lift up your hand and worship the Lord? Or is it your hand so heavy? As the Bible says, lift up your hand. Is the hand so heavy that you can't lift it up and praise the Lord? No, that's gravity. Lord, it's just gravity. It's so hard to lift it up. It's gravity. And we find it hard to lift up. You know one thing? One of these days, gravity will have no, what we call, effect on you when you're lifted up to be with Christ. Oh, there you were. Oh, I'm so happy. But now, oh, they just say, Lord, so heavy. Can we not lift up our hand and praise the Lord? At least do it every morning when you get up. Just open the windows and praise the Lord, hallelujah. Just worship Him. And that's what Daniel did 3 times a day when he was in prison. Right? So much so when he was cursing the lion's den, the lion looked at him and could, it's not good for food. Huh? There's a holy man, it's not good for food. You know what I'm saying? Good healthy food are not tasty. Junk food are good. So here's what Solomon did after he dedicated the temple thing. And verse 55, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be Yahweh, that hath given us rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. He had not failed one word, not one word. Huh? The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our father. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our heart unto him to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his stature and his judgment which he commanded our fathers. And let this word wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his people and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect before the Lord our God, to walk in his statute, to keep his commandment as at this day. As Solomon, King Solomon, in all his wisdom, after he had done what he did, to get the people to understand the statute. It's not just about the temple, it's about keeping the commandment, the statue of God, walk in it, because God never failed. Not one word. So if we abide in the vine, for we are his branches, we should. And keep those word of God that he has given us. Every word that God has given to us, keep it, walk in it. You know, as I said, if people really know the word, there would not be a lot of confusion. Even right now here, I kept on getting emails or getting texts. I get to see all the issues that is on the Facebook. And that's why sometimes, though I'm now going back into the Facebook, I do not want to jump in to be part of a bandwagon of, arguing over doctrines and teachings and whatever not. Because there's this issue of the Godhead still out there. How is it so difficult for us believers to understand that God is one and not two? Oh, you have a brother God, there is the Father, there is the Son, there is another two. And here we see people talking like that. They don't understand. Why is it talking that they can understand who Jesus is? If you want to know about the Godhead, go back to the beginning of Genesis, go back to John. And understand that God is a spirit and he is one. And he has a Son. That from the beginning of it was Logos that came forth in the word body. That's what Jesus said. I am the Son of God. Huh? I have a God that I worship. Right? A total one. Don't touch me. I have not yet gone through my God, my Father, your God, your Father. And yet some people don't seem to understand. Because one day when Jesus Christ has conquered the last of the enemy death and is put out, he will return all the authority that God has placed on him back to the Father, and he will submit himself to the Father. Do you understand this? Yet today, this seems to be an issue. And also the fivefold ministry. There are those that don't even understand the fivefold ministry, and they argue and they fight and they think that they know what they do not know. It's so, you know, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried for the people that they feed. They're confusing the people. And then there's about the tithes. I got an email, I think, last 2 weeks ago or so. Someone asking about tithes. They say, "Brother Gan, you know, this discussion, I think this is for Africa." And some sister said, "But in the Old Testament, the woman don't tithe." I said, "What? You know, you get this confusion? In the Old Testament, the woman don't tithe. I mean, what do they read the Bible? The woman tithe. In the New Testament, the Bible says, woman, thou shalt tithe. Man, thou shalt tithe. You don't read Bible like this. They want to be specific. And that's the problem. When they are seeing things that's not there, they get confused. They want to have something direct. Let me say the same thing as this. You know, we Christians, we don't go and tell somebody, "Hey, thou shalt not smoke." That's why you see Anglican priests and some of the other denominations, they smoke. You all know that? They smoke. Why do they smoke? Because the Bible did not say, "Thou shalt not smoke." You know? And the argument is this. Well, I know I hear all that. They say, "If you tell me that I cannot smoke for the gang, then you cannot drink tea." Correct, isn't it? Correct. I'm smoking leaf, you're drinking leaf. So what's the difference? What's the difference? True. What the argument is true. You see. But we're talking about health benefit. Yes, the Bible did not say you cannot smoke. You want to smoke? Go ahead and smoke. And destroy the temple of Holy Spirit. Destroy your temple if you want to, go ahead. And the Holy Spirit will destroy it for you. And you find that in your train, in your young people out there, a lot of them smoke, huh? You notice that? And especially go to the mall, they're still outside because you cannot smoke in the mall, they're on the outside the mall. Whole bunch of people smoking, especially during the office hour, lunch hour. Oh, you see all the chimney up there. By the time they start smoking at the young age, by the time they are in the 30, 40, you know how it is? You ever seen people who have this hacking cough because they smoke, that cough is so terrible, and develop COPD, and they suffer? Yes. You know. Oh, but my cigarette, it's a filtered cigarette. I remember when I was young, cigarette was so cheap, 20 cents a pack. And I still remember the brand is called Pakao Bai. It's the, what do you call, playing card. It's the brand. 10 stick inside for about 20 cents only back then in the 50s, 60s. And people smoke. And there's no filter. And then later on come out by America, Marlboro. from Europe, Stevenson, something like that, I can't remember now. Camel. They all advertise with a woman smoking. Hey, you got filtered cigarette. Huh? Marlboro. I still remember Marlboro very well. When I was young, I went to the movie theater. You know, here sits a man, a young man. I was young, of course. He's a young man. I was in my teens. There was a, I think he's an Indian young man. He was smoking in the theater. Of course, people smoked in the theater in those days. So he was smoking in the theater. I was sitting beside him. Hey, hi, friend, you want one? So, you know, to act macho, you know. Right? A lot of people like to act macho. Okay, so I took a stick. Marlboro. Yeah, smoke. Yeah, good, huh? It's, I don't breathe in, you know what I mean? You just smoke it. It's you know, but this Marlboro had this advertisement everywhere in those days. Cool, 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 has the Marlboro. As a mountain air, fresh, 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 has the newborn day. Metal home, metal let, cigarette. Mind you, then, I still remember the song because it is everywhere on the radio, television, on the movie screen, advertising that. So the thing, the filter cigarette is okay. And then in the Middle East, the smoke, the water pipe. Cigarette, you know? What do you call that?
Shisha.
The smoke goes to the water, filter it to the water, and it's okay, it's healthy. Well, that's why you see, the Bible does not have a direct answer to all your questions. No. But there are answers in the Bible if you know how to look at it. Woman do not have to tie. I said, how did the woman tie in those days? Even in the New Testament church, at that time, how did the woman tie? You see, the woman is usually a housewife. They don't go to work like modern day women go to work. Am I all right? Modern day woman, as stewardesses. Huh? Yeah. Secretary. Engineer now. And the doctors and all sorts. Women go to work. In those days, why do you have women go to work? So it's the man that goes to work. And even the tribe of Israel back in those days, when they give it to the Levite, every family, either you are a farmer or you are a shepherd, you give a tenth to the Lord. Right? So it's a whole household what you are, what you have. Not a single individual person. But this foolishness is going on and people don't even know how to answer questions. Yes. And I just remember how these issues and the confusion to me, if I see it, is that many of these ministers or so-called ministers wanted to be ministers. They don't have the knowledge of God's word and the spiritual sense, but they have a lot of smartness. And you remember, I remember this parable in the seventh parable of Matthew chapter 13, I believe, where there was this master tree that grows. I mean, the master said to grow into a big tree. And what did they find in the tree? All the birds, all kinds of birds, right? Yeah. And they were a bit talk, pecking each other, and they're discussing about doctrine and teaching. And while they are discussing that, this bird, that bird, and they will be dropping their, what do you call, bird feces. Bird droppings, all in the trees. Yeah, that's just over a lot of the talks out there, they are just talks and all rubbish. God has given the fivefold ministry. How are people not recognizing it? And how can you grow, ever grow, if you are not in the vine? If you are in the vine, then you will know what God is doing. That's why the message that Brother Abraham brought is knowing your day and his message. Oh yes, Brother Abraham, I follow Brother Abraham. Everything that Brother Abraham said, that's not what Brother Abraham is talking about. The day and his message. You are not living the day of Brother Branham. You are living in today. The shop is over for us. Do you get it? But the shout is going out along this corridor of time for those who have not yet heard. For us who have the message already. And what is the message? The message is not the books of Brother Branham. The message is simple to come back to this word. Come back to the word of God. Come back to the original. Back to the apostolic father's faith. And people come back to the apostolic father's faith, do they? Are they learning the father? That's why I wrote them out. I wrote them part a message on this in one of the messages. Learning the father. Remember what Malachi said? And he shall turn the heart of the children to the father. Is that right? So if your heart are turned back to the father, then learn the father. Got it? And the father is the apostolic father's teaching. Back to the father, the apostolic father's faith. Learn the teaching. And how can you learn it? If you do not know what God is doing today, after Abraham is gone. Oh my, I find people so, well, so full of this, of themselves. They're just pecking at each other, arguing over the words on the Facebook. Yeah. Sometimes I was invited to join them, I just ignore it. I don't have the time for all this. God, in the book of Genesis, chapter 40, I want to show you something. And verse 18 to 20. Because when you consider tithing, people are still confused of what was done here. Every one of you, they are hearing this. What is tithing? Are we, as Christians, commanded to tithe? If you say yes, are we commanded to tithe? No. We don't have any commandment to tithe. But we have the spirit of the word of God that we have seen the revelation we are to give. It's giving. It's not about tithing. The Bible said when Abraham, chapter 14, verse, I want to read from verse 17 onwards. You know, 17 to 20. You see, when Abraham came back from the battle of the kings in the valley of Chelodaome, okay, in the valley of Shibni, sorry. So what happened? I want to read this. Okay, let's just read. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chelodaome, and all the king that were with him, and the valley of Sheba, which is the king's deal. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thy enemy into thy hand. And he, Abraham, gave him tithes of all. Now, when we read this portion here, when you use the word tithe, Abraham gave him tithes of all. It seems that what tithes become used as an object or what that means wealth. Means value, means anything. But the word tithes means a tenth part. You understand? It just means a tenth part. That's it. Nothing else. And because of what Abraham did, the Lord let God give it to Israel to support the Levite. A tenth part of what they have. But when it comes to the church, hey, what do you read in the New Testament that ever say anything about the tenth part that we should give? No. Oh, my God, I'm so thankful today. I know in the Revelation I don't have to give a 10%. I give 5%. Can? You know what I'm saying? But Abraham is the father of our faith. If he is, so let us follow his example. Ascend what we have to give. And the Bible says he gave. He was not forced to pay. There was no commandment that was given to Abraham or Abraham to give 10% of what he had. No. Do you understand this? Let me show you something here in this part of scripture. Maybe you have heard me share with you, but since I'm here, I'm going to tell you something. If you look at verse 17, and Abraham came back from this war, right? And the king of Sodom went out to meet him. Meet who? Meet Abraham, right? Correct? And then in verse 18, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, went, brought forth bread. Now, people read like that and say, oh, the king of Sodom came out to meet Abraham. And here came Melchizedek with bread and wine. Huh? Is it the way it is? You see, this portion of scripture has given a lot of people a lot of headache. You see, this is what we call an interjection. Remember the interjection over in the book of Genesis? About the tree? Genesis 2:9? Interjection. Right. And also in Matthew. I mean, there are many places where there are interjection. So if you read verse 17, jump to verse 21, and you get the flow. The king of Sodom came out to meet Abraham. And the king of Sodom, verse 21, said unto Abraham, give me the person. Right? You got it? Yes. You understand now? You understand about understanding the scripture? So if there's any wise man out there who thinks he knows, listen to me. This is the interjection that's put there. Sodom, the king of Sodom met Abraham and complain about all that. Right? But in between, God just put that interjection there. Because Abraham gave back everything to the king of Sodom. He says, I don't want anything that belongs to you, right? In case later on you say, you make me rich. Correct? Correct? And people did not realize that all the spoil that he got from the king, all those kings, He gave a temple to God. No, it's not like that. He gave back to whatever belongs to Sodom and all those kings. Take back, you know. Take back your people. But whatever these people whom you have captured, I have set them free. What belongs to them, belongs to them. And whatever the left is left behind, for Abraham, well, he gave it to the Lord 10%. For another part of interjection, let me show you Matthew 24, quickly. Matthew 24, verse 23. If you look at Matthew 24, you know about these last days. Alright, now, if you read verse 21 of chapter 24 to 22, read from there. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those that be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, there, those days shall be shortened. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, now, this portion here does not belong. After you read 22, jump to 29. Because 23 to 28 is an interjection. Do you understand? 23 to 28 is an interjection. Because when you read the Great Tribulation, in verse 21, 22, you jump to 29, because immediately after the tribulation of those days. You see, many times people need to already understand how the question that was asked of Christ and how he answered it. And if you look at it, verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. Now, many of us understand this. Where the carcass is, there the eagle be gathered together. Now, many people do not understand what Jesus is talking about. What is a carcass? And some interpretation in denomination, even some Bible version, will tell you that the eagle is not the right word. Who said so? So they were trying to explain the eagle here should be voucher. Because the eagle don't only eat fresh food. They don't eat carcass. The word carcass is the wrong translation in the... Not really wrong, actually. As I said, word translation is messy. The word carcass here is from the Greek word toma. And the toma means a fall. You know what I mean by a fall? The eagle catches something. Pow! Pow! That animal is dead. You call it carcass, right? But to many people, carcass means a dead body that has been dead rotten for many years. Who said so? Or for many weeks? Or for many days? No! If you take a lamb and you slaughter him, you call it a carcass. Isn't that so? But the mentality of many traditional interpreters, oh no, this is a dead body, you know, and so eagle is wrong, it should be called voucher. Oh my goodness. The word eagle is the same word that is used in the book of Luke chapter 17 verse 37. Where the Bible said, wheresoever the body is, there the eagle should be gathered together, right? Same word. Eagle. Ahioto. Ahioto. Ego. 1737. Luke. You see, people need to really understand words. Alright. They search me early. They that seek me early shall find me. You about this verse? How many of you have read this verse? Those that seek me early shall find me? Yes. Who is this book? I mean, what is this what do you call? They refer to those that seek me early shall find me. Is it the Christian people out? I mean, the non-Christian people or the sinner out there? Or the general people who look for God and they found Him? A lot of people read it like that. But let's go through it. Proverbs 1:1-7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the word of understanding. And that we should do. Alright, we must know wisdom and instruction. To receive the instruction of wisdom. How do you receive the instruction of wisdom? Where do you get it? Get it from fools? Get it from smart people? Yeah, you know what? People call me intellectual. They call me smart. I'm so glad. So, but again, you're too intellectual. You know what Brother Bam said about intellectual people? You know Brother Bam talk about the education is of the devil? You know, they refer to it like that. So I'm intelligent means I'm not of God. Let me tell you one thing over again. Where did intelligence come from? Who created this whole universe and earth and heaven? Is it not God? Is not God intellectual? Full of intelligence? Full of wisdom? And where did I get it from? And where should you get it from? Have the intelligence of God. Verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple. To give some deep insight to the simple people. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand the proverbs and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay. Proverbs 1:28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Who is this talking about? They are always God's people. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. You see? I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Hey, when you praise the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm seeking you today. So love me. Love me. Love me, dude. Yeah, God loves us. Because we seek after Him.
Alright. Isaiah 26:9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when the judgment, thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Yeah. With my soul when I desire thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit will I seek thee early. In the morning when you get up, brother says, open the window, just praise the Lord. Just hallelujah, bless the Lord, just praise Him. And say, Father, bless the day, walk with me. And let me walk with you. Hosea 5:13-15. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrians and sent to King Jarab, yet could he not heal you, nor kill you for your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to thy place, to my place, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. This is God's judgment upon Ephraim and Judah. And God said, I will do all this. I will tear away. I will take away. And then I will go and return to my own place. I will not come and deal with you. I'll be with you. I'll just go back to my place. Remember this. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter and then we close with this. Ephesians, the whole chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the same which are Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just think about it, huh? This is one of my favorite chapters. And all that which Paul talked about, the grace of God, the blessing of God, and all that. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. That we should be holy and without blame. Right? Having predestined unto us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. According to the good pleasure of His will, this is what He has done for us. Predestined us unto the adoption of children. Okay? And it will be when the adoption comes. We're not adopted yet. The adoption will come in the millennium. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. Ever wonder why God chose you? It's a mystery of His will. Why He chose you? Huh? Why did He not choose some good guys up there? So, meditate on those things. Why He chose you? If you can find the answer. That in the dispensation of fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Have both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance we have obtained. Being predestinated to the purpose of Him who work all things after the counsel of His own will. We have obtained an inheritance. Remember what your inheritance you have? You all know that. Just to remember. What is Christ's inheritance in you? Huh? You don't remember. Yeah. So always remember the name that God gave to His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. You know that's the name He gave Him. A name above all name. And that name He's given to us. Hey, we are Mrs. Yeshua HaMashiach.
That's right. Remember, the woman takes the man's name. That's a genealogy of death. We have that name, we have obtained that name. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trust in Christ. This is what Paul talks about. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trust in Christ. That means we, the apostle, we, the apostle, the Jews, those that who heard Christ, we. Verse 13, in whom you also, the Gentiles and all those who have little, and the little Jews that came to know the gospel. In whom you also trust, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also, after that you believe, you will see with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's a token. You have the name of Christ, He has given you this Spirit. The very Spirit that God gave to Christ. And you and I receive it. Unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, love unto all the saints, He ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. That's what He's given to us for. Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Not in the knowledge of this doctrine, that doctrine, nothing to do with it. First thing, you must know Him. A lot of people know a lot of doctrines and this, but they don't know Him. Is it not true? Brother, it cannot be true. Really? Look at the Pharisees. They know this law, they know this covenant, they know Levitical celebration, the festivals, they know this. But they do not know Him. Not possible. Many people in the end time said they do not know Him. They know about William Branham. Worship William Branham. You have not even known the revelation that I have all these years to put out the truth. And it's so hard for people to see it. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So what's in the vine is in the branches. Right? The glory of His inheritance in the same. God give it to Christ, God give it to you. Do you get what I'm saying? What God put in the vine, the branches get the same. So abide in that vine. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. Which He wrought in Christ, He's the vine. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the world, in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under His feet, and give Him to be the head over all the things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Amen. Abide in the vine. If you ever want to know truth, if you ever want to get away from all this confusion, abide in the vine. We're going to listen to this song. Because you know one thing? It's a very nice song. Traveling on my knees. And every one of us, remember one thing. Sometime in our life, we should not just sometime be, but as often as we can, we travel on our knees. Amen? Listen to it.
Last night I took a journey to a land far across the sea. I didn't go by boat or plane. I traveled on my knees. Well, I saw so many people there in deepest depths of sin. And Jesus told me that I should go. He said there was souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I can't go and work with such as these. But he answered quickly, oh yes you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, and I'll meet the needs. You call, and I'll hear. And be concerned about lost souls, of those both far and near. And so I tried it. I knelt in prayer. Gave up some hours of ease, and I felt the Lord. He was right by my side while traveling on my knees. As I prayed on, I saw souls saved and twisted bodies healed. I saw God's workers' strength renewed while laboring on the field. I said, yes, Lord, I have a job, my desire, thy will to please. And I can go and heed thy call by traveling on my.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes. If you cannot go overseas to do any mission work, but be concerned for lost souls, both far and near. And we can do it. And you can do it by going on your knees. Amen. So that us all by in Christ bring forth fruit, they will glorify Him. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace today, and thank you for what we have from thy word. Continue, Lord, to lead us and guide us. Let the church of yours, Father, let all these branches that belongs to you intertwine. Embrace one another as we go, as we grow, Father, bearing fruits for you. And let us always abide in the vine. For without Him, Father, we know we can do nothing. So whatever we can do, even we have to travel on our knees, and we ought to do this often as we could, Father, to travel on our knees and praise you and pray for lost souls. Pray for the last one to come in. So that, Lord, Father, you will send for your only begotten Son back to this earth once again and bring forth a word of peace. Father, we look to it. May thy kingdom come soon, Lord. For this, Lord, the rest of the day, in Jesus' name, I ask that you bless. Amen.